paving it. Love the children. Love the children.
Indeed.
Let me bid you welcome and express appreciation for your being here always. But we say it so often, we say it sincerely. Just good to get together, so appreciate your desire to be with us today very, very much. I know we have some guests with us, even from out of town, a long way from town. Some others I haven't seen for a while. Ron and Karen Angel over here, I know they live up in the Sacramento area. Down here I know to see your dad, very aged and needs a lot of assistance. I know he's over 90.
96.
Oh, yes. So I know you're down here to make that visit, make sure that he's being cared for, so certainly wish you well in that. The lesson this morning, there is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. It's titled, A Heritage from Dad. And as the scripture mentioned when it was read to us, when a loved one dies, precious memories flood our soul. And many times when family and friends get together at the passing of a loved one, usually our conversation begins with the word, remember? Remember when they said this, or remember when they did that? And so in our text this morning, Jacob must have left Joseph with many fond memories at this time. And perhaps when Joseph is weeping over his father, he may have thought, you know, Dad, I remember the coat of many colors that you gave to me. Angered my brothers, didn't it, Dad? He may have remembered the time that his brothers deceived their father. They convinced their father that Joseph was killed by wild animals. Perhaps Joseph remembers at this time when his brother Benjamin was held hostage in Egypt in order to get his father to come to Egypt. Perhaps he told Dad, I remember you teaching me, but Dad, I also remember that grandfather Isaac taught you. He may even said to his father, I remember great-grandfather Abraham teaching my grandfather, teaching you, teaching me. But now his father's gone. Memories are abundant. This hour would not be forgotten. And God calls Jacob away to be joined to his father. I don't know the author of this poem. It says, I may never be as clever as my neighbor on the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had. But I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish before my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad. For I'll know I've been successful as a little fellow's dad.
Amen.
Every time I read stories about fathers, it's like they're always about fathers and sons. Christine always reminds me on the way home. She'll say, you know, Brian, dads have daughters too. But it seems like all the poems that I find, they're about father's sons. But Dad, there's father's daughters too. So sons, yes, daughters. Four things in your notes. that I've mentioned about a heritage that dads should leave sons or daughters. These are the things that I see, and there's more, but I just mentioned four things that Jacob left Joseph. Four things that perhaps Joseph even remembered when Jacob has died. Number one, Jacob instilled in Joseph the ability to forgive brothers. The ability to forgive. See, while Joseph lived at home, his brothers in Genesis chapter 37 verse 4 says they hated him. Brothers hated him. Could not speak peaceably to him. So Joseph was envied. He was mistreated by his brothers. He was cast into a pit. He was sold, Joseph was, by his brothers to people passing by. His brothers lied about what happened to Joseph, to their father. While Joseph landed up in Egypt, he was falsely accused, cast into prison. He was forgotten. Perhaps he had the thought of his in his mind, boy, if I ever have the opportunity to get even with my brothers, I'm going to do it. He had that opportunity. He was elevated to a high position because of his actions in Egypt. And so now that his father has died, his brothers are probably wondering, uh-oh, what is Joseph going to do to us? His brothers come to Joseph, to their brother, and they say, Joseph, forgive us for the way they treated him. Joseph said in Genesis chapter 50, beginning of verse 19, he said, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. You think about Joseph's life and the way that his brothers treated him, but there was something instilled in Joseph by his father. No matter how people treat you, especially even family, there may be not, there will come a time in that relationship that you will be called upon to forgive. Joseph was able to do that. That's a heritage that God's people, you and me, must leave to every generation. The ability to forgive brethren. In Ephesians 4 verse 32, the admonition is to all of us, be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So number one, dads or parents or just all of us, one heritage that we need to leave to the next generation is the ability to forgive. Because those occasions will come. Number two, we need to leave an example. A good example. We will leave an example. But let's leave a good one. Leave a good one. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 14, Joseph fulfills the obligation that Jacob left for him. Jacob, his dad, said, don't leave my body in Egypt. Take me back to the burial place that we have in the promised land. And so in Genesis 50, verse 14, Joseph buries Jacob in Canaan. But isn't in that example, Joseph also says to his brethren, in verse 24 of Genesis chapter 50, don't leave me in Egypt either. So Joseph had faith in the ability that God would have them make an exodus out of Egypt one day. And so Joseph didn't live to see that, but he had that expectation. That faith, and he says to his brethren, to his children, just as I took my father Jacob back to Canaan's land, when I die, don't bury me here. Take my body back too in the Exodus. Keeps his faith that there will be an Exodus. Jacob passed that same trust on to Joseph. Again, another poem. I'm not sure who the author is on this one either. But concerning an example. It says, I watched him playing round my door, my neighbor's little boy of 4 years old. I wondered why a child should choose to wear his dad's old worn-out shoes. Didn't we all do that as a boy? Put our dad's shoes on and slush through them. Said, I saw him try with all his might to make the laces snug and tight. I smiled to see him walk, and then he'd only step right out again. I heard him cry, his voice so glad, I want to be just like my dad. I hoped his dad, his steps would choose safe for his son to wear his shoes. And then a shout and a cry of joy, a hello, Dad, and a hiya, boy. They walked along in measured stride, each face aglow with love and pride. What have you done today, my lad? I tried to wear your old shoes, Dad. They're big, but when I'm a man, I'll wear your shoes. I know I can. They stopped and stood there hand in hand. He saw his son's tracks in the sand. His words of prayer came to me. Lord, let my steps lead him to thee. Power of example. Dad, when you think about something that you want to leave your children, number one is that ability to forgive others, because again, those times will come. Forgive brothers too. Second, leave an example. Leave an example. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul reminds Timothy. He says, when I call to remembrance, remember. I remember the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in you also. The power of example. Faith that has been handed down. Example. I remember, Dennis, how many years you've been retired? 7 years from the school system? 10 years before that. While he was still working, people thought he was retired. But even when we attended his retirement celebration, had some speakers. One was his daughter, Katie. I remember what Katie was saying about her dad, Dennis, and she made reference to his example. And she mentioned almost in quote, my dad gave me the ability, she says, to do something. And she mentioned a couple of things, and one was, my dad taught me honesty and faith. She's already thinking, dad's not gone, but she was thinking in retirement, let me tell you what my dad is leaving me. That. Even the principal he taught adult school, but even the principal got up and wanted to say some fine words about Dennis. She couldn't think of anything at the moment, but no, she thought, came up with some fine words, but she did mention about his speech around campus. She said, boy, he would always come in the morning and come through the office and tell a funny story or a joke. And she said, and they were always clean. They weren't funny, but they were always clean. But you'll just remembrance of things. You'll hear Dennis is going to retire and move on. So this is what I want to remember. The power of example. You know, we have the phrases like father, like son, or a picture is worth 1,000 words. What are we going to leave our children? We tend to even take on the characteristics of those people we esteem. Sometimes you may not even be aware of that. You just enjoy that person so much, you begin to maybe walk like them or talk like them. So we ask Dad, what kind of example are you leaving your children? You know, my faith goes back several generations. I remember my grandfather while he was alive when I was a youngster and his faith in attending Churches of Christ. And my dad and mother. And Christine and us. And now our children. And now I have two grandchildren. No, grandboys. I'll tell you about my grandsons. But what are we going to leave them? We have even, I can see in the congregation here, generations of faith. Generations. As God started with one is down to the sons or daughters, and I see people here with grandchildren in attendance. Orby mentioned yesterday his grandson's wedding. Four generations. He hopes that little grandson, great-grandson, Mason, will grow up in the faith. So what of you leaving your children these things, ability to forgive, leave them an example. Number three goes along with it. Knowledge of God. Knowledge of God. In Genesis chapter 50, verse 23, Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. Ephraim is one of Joseph's children in Manasseh. But this text mentions one of his sons, Ephraim. Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up on Joseph's knees. On Joseph's knees, third generation. So Joseph not only took his children, but grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And he made sure that those future generations were brought up on his knees. And that's what we need to do as parents. Grandparents, we need to take our children and put them on our knees. John, you don't need to put Noah on your knees. You probably did that when he was younger, but you don't have to do that anymore. But we need to take our children on our knees. Read them the Bible stories. Tell them the Bible stories. Pass your faith to that generation, the next generation. Realize the importance of that generation knowing God's word. Moses did that. I'm going to almost to the last thing. But just want to read. Before Israelites go into the promised land, Moses has led them to the river's edge. Moses dies on this side of the Jordan River, and then Joshua leads them across. But here was God's instruction to Moses to the people. Hear therefore, O Israel. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Don't just hear these words. That it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently to your children. To your children. Moses is not just giving the instruction to that adult audience or to just saying, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to teach your children to do. Teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house. Talk about God and the church and your faith to your children, not just in Bible class and worship assembly. When you're in your house. When you walk by the way. When you lie down. When you tuck your children in. When you rise up. Bind them for a sign upon thy hand. They'll be as frontless between thine eyes. Write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Wow. See, God wants his word taught. And to the next generation. The last thing, though, sometimes people say, well, I don't want to influence my children religiously. Everything else will influence them religiously. They're going to be influenced religiously from the movies they watch, the television programs, the music that they listen to. They call rap music, you know that? You ever, but warning, listen to some of the words of the songs. They're going to be influenced by the media, by newspapers, by their associates, by their school, by government. The laws that government makes, they're going to be influenced. Be sure you take your children on your knees and give them godly instruction. The last one I have is fond memories of all of these things we just mentioned. In Genesis 25, verse 5, and I put this in your notes, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. What did Abraham give to Isaac? Can you name one thing that he might hold in his hand? He gave them something far more important. He gave them faith. Abraham gave Isaac faith. Isaac gave Jacob faith. Jacob gave Joseph faith. The message is, I want to ask this question, what are you leaving your children? Leave them more than the things that they can hold in their hand. Leave them something other than that. Everything they can hold in their hand is subject to moth and rust and thieves. That's what Jesus said. So what have we planted, the question, what have we planted in the hearts of our children that will take them to heaven? The material objects won't get them there. But the faith that we leave them, the precious memories we leave them of our faith, of our ability to forgive others, of our steadfastness in faith, leave them that. I want my boys to have more than my 11-year-old Chevy that needs repair. I'm sure they want something other than that Chevy, too. So when a father, or when death takes a dad, I put in your notes, what's left? What's left? The ability to forgive. They'll remember your example far more than they will remember the objects you have in your house. They will remember the knowledge of God that you've instilled in them. I thank my parents, I thank God for what my parents taught me from my youth, my faith. And memories. I remember my parents. In a loving and gracious way. Leave your children that. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of exhortation, song of invitation. Maybe one here this morning is not a member of the New Testament church. You've heard the good news of the gospel. You know that Jesus saves. You believe that. You're willing to repent of your sins or turn your life around. And confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Then you can be baptized for remission of sins when those things are in place. And then rise to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the formula, or that's the plan of forgiveness of sins, or how to become a Christian. If you need to follow that plan, if you haven't done so already, we extend this invitation. If that's your desire to do so, that's your resolve. I just simply want you to have a seat beside me while we're singing this invitation song. And at the close of the song, I'll just simply ask you a question. What's on your mind? And your answer will be, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. And we can honor that request this morning. Or you want brethren while we're here to say, I want brethren to pray with me about this decision or about a situation I'm in. We can honor that request also. So let's stand together as a congregation, if you're willing and able, and sing this invitation song. If that your desire is to respond in a public way, please do so while we're singing.